I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class. Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. The scripture says faith is the victory that overcomes the world, and that the Lord always causes us to triumph. And that's talking about when we look to Him, when we follow Him, we listen to Him. And there is a way, no matter what you've been dealing with, how bad it's gotten, how long it's been that way. Maybe you can't fix it. Maybe no one you know can fix it except for God. He can fix it. And to Him, it's actually easy. He already knows. But it will require faith. And it's not... You don't just have to know how everything could work out. All you got to do is make the decision to believe He knows and He will show you and that it's possible. Everybody said out loud, it is possible.
It is possible.
For me to overcome,
every problem,
in my life.
It is possible.
It is possible. To have total victory.
To have total victory.
And wind up
a good
witness,
a
good testimony
in
all these things. Amen. Father, we believe that. We make the choice to believe that and expect that. And we ask you for the grace, the help, the anointing, the direction for today and for now and for all these situations. Speak through us. Speak to us, give us ears to hear and eyes to see, and we purpose to be a doer of what you show us. And we thank you in advance for watching over your word when we do it and performing it in our lives and doing great things in our lives. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We've been in a study for some weeks now that we're calling Faith for Provision. And... We are going through a process one by one of giving 30 reasons from Scripture why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. It requires mind renewal. Why does your mind need to be renewed? Because you don't think right. Just because you've been born again doesn't mean you automatically think like God in every area. It was the inner man, the hidden man of the heart, was born again, not the outer man, and not your brain and not your mind. Your mind needs to be renewed. What does that mean? So that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. One of the biggest things you need mind renewal about is what is God's will? What's God's will? What's not God's will? And no, everything that happens is not the will of God. There's all kind of things happening that's not God's will. Most of us did not grow up wealthy. And whether you realize it or not, especially if you grew up poor or some degree of poor, you have some poverty mentality that's part of your thinking that you don't even realize until the Lord puts a finger on it. And I grew up relatively poor. Now, what I mean by that is there's different degrees of poor, right? And having traveled the world some now, I didn't grow up poor like some people are poor. But we didn't have a lot. And we didn't go hungry, but and when everybody around you is at the same place, you don't notice it, you know. But then you go out and you see, oh, other people have more stuff, you know. But saving things and fear of lack. I know my grandmother and her generation, having gone through the Great Depression, she kept a store of food under the bed. Canned goods and that kind of thing. Why? Because they ran out during the Great Depression. And then there was the war and things were rationed and all that. And I didn't grow up like that. So I don't keep a store of food under the bed. But you know what I mean? That's a poverty mentality, which is fear. I know my granddad and my dad, growing up, we worked on our own vehicles, our tractor, our pickups, our cars. And we didn't have money to just go buy parts in town at the new parts place. So we learned how to fix things. And some of it, you know, was not the best, but it got you through. And you learned how even, you know, to get something welded or to get something repaired or wire it back together until you could do something different. And so over the years, we accumulated parts. But you kept them in case you needed something off of it or some piece. And so if you're driving through some of these rural areas like I came from and you see an old car sitting in the front yard or an old truck or a washing machine on the front porch, you think, why don't they clean that stuff up? Well, they're saving it in case they might need it. And that's the phrase, might need it.
Yes.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Might need it. Well, when Phyllis and I went to Bible school, I had always wanted a sports car. And I always wanted a Corvette, but I hadn't been able to get one. Well, not a year or two into that, we were able to get one. And when I say get one, it was a pretty poor example. It had been vandalized. It had been damaged. The wires were all hanging out on the inside. But it was the one I could afford. And we got it. And I had to go to salvage yards and I found parts and we got it running. And we were learning how to believe God by that time. I had a man come by where I was working at Brother Hagin's ministry. And he said, whose car is that out there? And they told it was mine. And he came by. We'd never met before. And he said, is that your car? And I thought, uh-oh, I've leaked oil on somebody's plate. <You know? laughs> He said, I have 30 years experience in Corvette restoration. He said, the Lord quickened me when I walked by your car to help you get that car in top shape. He said, if you'll buy the materials, I'll do all the labor. I'll sew it to you. Well, I couldn't have afforded it any other way. He made it look like something in a magazine.
Wow.
He painted it. Some kind of special white with a blue inlay coming out of the vents, special paint job, and we put a spoiler on. Anyway, I had a Corvette. And so Phyllis and I had been believing God to get a house. We'd never had a house of our own. We were staying in little apartments and cheap little places. And so we got we weren't owning it, but a rent house. We were renting one, and this is a big deal to us because you got your own washer and dryer. You don't have to go to the basement or the laundromat, I'm talking about poverty mentality. And so we're getting ready to move, and I'm gathering up all my greasy car parts to take with me. And Phyllis says, you're not going to take those old greasy car parts to our new house. New to us, you know. I said, oh, yeah. I said, if you had to go out to the salvage yard and buy this, you know, it would cost you money. See, poverty mentality. And then so she says, I thought you're believing for a new Corvette. I said, I am. She said, so will these old nasty parts fit on the new Corvette? And she said, if you can believe for a new Corvette, wouldn't you believe for a new part to put on the new Corvette? I said, well, you go ahead and I'll think about it. But the Lord began to deal with me See, what's going on? This is from my childhood. This is from my growing up where you don't change out the tire. It's got two good tread left on it. You got to run out them other two tread, you know. Your windshield wiper, part of it's flapping in the wind. Yeah, but the bottom two-thirds is still good, you know. And you get down to this much in the shampoo bottle. Don't throw that away. You can put a little hot water in there and rinse it out. And saving all of the bread wrapper ties and all of the plastic bowls and all of the plastic ware. Why? Might need it. Might need it sometime. See, a fear of running out. This is not God. This is not good stewardship. No kind of fear is a good thing. God has commanded us not to fear. Fear to us is spiritual contraband. Yeah. It is something we should not be caught with. We should not have about us in any way. And it pained me, but I took those car parts and threw them away. Yeah. Why? Not because of the parts. Something needed to happen with me. Yes. I needed to turn loose of false security and fear. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And say, no, if I need a part for my car in the future, I'll be able to get it. Yeah. Right? Yeah. And hey, let's just get a new part. Yeah. Right? Yeah. It's a matter of faith where we are. Now, don't, you know, judge anybody. If they're at a different place and make fun of anybody, because, you know, if you weren't there, if you hadn't lived that life, you don't know. You might imagine, but with all of us, there's always room to come up. Yes. Right? Yes. Do you believe it or not, class? Amen. So say it out loud. Father, I don't want to have any fear or poverty mentality. Or live like I'm under the curse. Or act like you can't provide for me. I ask you, enlighten the eyes of my heart and my mind. Help me to see how good you are. How big you are. How faithful you are. What you want for me. And what you can do. And what you want to do. For me and all mine. I ask it in Jesus' name. Thank you for delivering me from all fears and all confusion and all deception and all darkness and giving me the truth and filling me with your truth that makes me free. Oh, somebody say, thank you, Lord. 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 Now, sometimes people have done some of these things, and they call it just being a good steward, But you got to be honest with yourself. Is there some fear involved? When there's fear there, it's not okay. No matter how many ways you try to explain it, fear is completely unacceptable to God in any measure or degree. He doesn't want us to have any fear. Have you read in the scripture how many times he said, fear not. Yes. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Don't be discouraged. That's not a pep talk, him knowing you won't be able to do it. He fully intends that you listen to him and go, okay, yeah, no fear here. I refuse to let it in me and stay on me. And if you need to, and you will at times, speak right up and say, fear. Leave me in Jesus' name. No, when you have these thoughts and these feelings and this pressure, open your mouth and say, fear, get out of here. Fear, leave me. I resist you in Jesus' name. We talked about the 23rd Psalm. I like it where it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that's the darkest and scariest of place, I will fear no evil. What's it mean? I won't fear anything. Why? Because you're with me. Yes. You're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So everybody said out loud, no fear.
No fear.
No fear of running out.
No fear of running out.
But see, what God wants to do is fill us with faith for running over.
Yes.
Hallelujah. 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 Hey, but you can't hold on to the fear of running out. Well, what if this happens? And what if that happens? And what if this happens in the economy? And what if this happens in the government? And what if this happens with war? Or what if this happens with it? You need to be quick to speak up and say, God will still be here. Amen. Is that right? No matter what happens, my Father will take care of me.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
Come on, say it out loud.
I will always
have all I need.
Amen.
Amen. Always. No fear of running out. Now we do need to do what he tells us to do. If he tells you to go here, do this, work, invest, buy, sell, give, sow, tithe, whatever he tells you to do, you need to do it. And then having done it, you do have full confidence. I'm not going to run out.
Amen.
I'm not going to run out.
That's right.
You know, my wife and I, we're heads of these churches and ministries that are associated with this thing. And over the years, the needs and the finances and the bills have gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. And I just got through telling you where I came from, you know, about holding on to a nasty used part instead of buying a new one. And now we're talking millions and millions for the ministry to operate. I could sit around and think about it and go, oh, Lord. Where's all this going to come from? What if this and what if that? No, I thank God the Lord's helped me. I don't do any of that. I sleep good. I cast all the cares over on the Lord. And just what I'm telling you about personal things, I say it over the ministry, over the churches. We will not lack. We will have everything we need. I call every bill paid. I call every need met. I call every obligation fulfilled. Why? Because my God shall supply all my needs. Listen to these words. According to His
riches.
Oh, there's that word again. Riches. Somebody say riches.
Riches.
Is riches a bad word?
No.
Or a good word? It's a Philippians 4:19 word. How's that not a good word? Somebody say good word. Good word. Rich is a good word. Poor is a bad word. Healed is a good word. Sick is a bad word. Right?
Yes.
Saved is a good word.
Yes, it is.
Lost is a bad word. These things are not complicated. It's the enemy who's tried to confuse everybody with it. No, thank God. What we found is that the wisest was and is the richest. Go back with me to 1 Kings again, and let's talk a little bit more about this. We saw Jesus said in Luke 12 that Solomon's glory, he said, was God's clothing the fields was greater than Solomon's glory. And so Solomon's clothing and his things and his house and what he did, Jesus called them glorious. Well, where do you see glory in that? You see it in the wisdom God gave him, but then you see it in the wealth and the riches. Not my words, his words. And so when Solomon prayed, when he first became king, and he felt inadequate, which all of us are inadequate by ourselves, but he said, Lord, give me wisdom so I can lead your people. And the scripture said the prayer pleased the Lord. And he told Solomon, he said, I've heard your prayer, and you didn't ask for all these other things that people usually ask for. You asked for wisdom, and he said, I'm giving it to you. And I'm giving you what you didn't ask for, riches and honor. And have you ever read the book of Proverbs? The books of wisdom, Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and those? Well, some of these are Solomon's writings, David and Solomon. And he's giving revelation of the wisdom that God gave him, and you'll find that word rich all through that book. And he's telling you the connection that God taught him about wisdom and wealth. And so what we studied in previous classes is that, like, when the Queen of Sheba came and she saw Solomon, he answered, the first thing was his wisdom that she was in awe of. But then she's looking around the place and she's looking at the palace and she's looking the attendants, their clothes, their uniforms. She's looking at the table. She's looking at the platters and the dishes and the glasses and the way everybody did something. Can you see? It wasn't chaotic. It wasn't just everybody doing whatever they wanted to do the way they wanted to do it. They weren't just wandering around in raggedy clothes or you know, flip-flops and cutoffs and T-shirt with holes. And, you know, God don't care. God, he used to care.
Amen.
I said he used to care. When did he change? Now, you don't have to be stuffy. You don't have to be regimented and stiff to have nice. Do you?
No.
Do we need revelation in these areas, church? Yeah, you can see that we do. Some things have been lost in the church in previous generations. Lies and traditions have been substituted instead of the Word of God. So we read how she was just in awe. Let's look a little bit more in the 10th chapter, 1 Kings 10. 1 Kings 10, it talked about his throne. And let's go on, verse 21. All King Solomon's drinking vessels were of gold, all of them. And the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were of pure gold. None were of silver. It was accounted nothing in the days of Solomon. Wow. You know why? Because they had so much gold. Right? And when I was reading some of this, I thought, you know, this is a while back, I thought, Lord, he's using gold as a primary building material. And then the Lord quickened me. He said, that's what I do. Right? Have you ever read Revelation? I mean, this is a step up beyond Solomon. The streets are pure gold. Can you imagine walking on gold, driving on gold? And it's so pure that it's translucent. We've not seen gold that pure. But anyway, that's God. And we saw that you know, the gates are pearl, building materials. That's where we'd use wood or steel, right? He uses gold and pearl and jewels. Well, now, does that make you sick?
No.
Why do I say that? How many times? I have heard it too many times. Some Christian, especially if some preacher or some minister or church got something nice or expensive, oh, you'll hear people, oh, that's disgusting. That makes me sick. Well, then you are going to really be ill in heaven.
Right? Yeah.
Right? Because everywhere you look, it's going to be astounding, rich. The devil did not invent rich. He only stole it.
Amen.
He's a thief.
Yes.
God invented rich. Rich is God's idea.
Amen.
He's all God's. No matter what you think or don't think, he's not going to change heaven for you. You know, I've heard people sing goofy songs, you know. I just want a little cabin in the corner of Glory Land. If I can just be down by the creek, you know, with some branch water and cornbread. But, well, it ain't going to happen, okay? God's not going to set up a poor section for you.
That's right.
He's just not going to do it. So you might as well adjust now. Right?
Yes.
Start making some adjustments now. Verse 22, for the king had at sea a navy at Tharshish with the navy of Hiram. And once in 3 years came the navy of Tharshish bringing gold and silver and ivory and apes and peacocks. And King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for what?
Riches.
And?
Wisdom.
Wisdom. Come on, say it out loud. Riches. And?
Wisdom.
Wisdom.
And?
Riches.
Riches.
Goes together. Always has. Always will. It says, and all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. Now, the riches weren't first. The wisdom was first. And wisdom, the plan of God is the wisdom of God. In fact, the whole Word of God is called the wisdom of God. God's wisdom. He said, they all sought to hear this wisdom that God put in his heart, and they brought every man his present, vessels of silver, vessels of gold, and garments, and armor, and spices, and horses, and mules, a rate, year by year. Is there a continuous stream and flow of money and things and stuff coming to where? Flowing to the wisdom of God. It's not just Solomon who was the money magnet. It was the wisdom of God. Good draws good. Oh, come on, can you see this? And God is good. And when God put this amazingly good thing called the wisdom of God in him and on him, it attracted and drew dignitaries, Queen of Sheba, kings, princes, gold, silver, all kind of, all his life. It was that way. And Solomon gathered together chariots and horsemen and made silver to be like stones and cedars like sycamore trees. And he had horses and chariots, and we've already talked about that. Say it again, wisdom.
Wisdom.
And riches.
And riches.
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 And wisdom.
And wisdom.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And is it God's will for you to be wise or foolish?
Wise.
Did he tell you you could ask for wisdom?
Yes.
And he would give it to you?
Yes.
And what comes with wisdom?
Riches.
Riches and wealth. And our time's up again. Said out loud, I live by faith. I walk by faith. I overcome the world by faith. I am strong in faith, giving glory to God. We'll see you again soon, back here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.